don't know if it's strange or it's genius, and I'm leaning towards genius, Raven.
Yeah, but it took up a good amount of space in her cart, and it just struck me as weird when I saw it.
It's Anon, Raven. Tell a story. What happened?
So I had to run into the grocery store the other day to grab something. My wife's not feeling good this week, so I'm handling all that type of stuff that I don't normally do. And I don't know if this is a thing that normally goes on, but I saw a woman. She was a shorter woman.
But short like me? Like 5'2"? Or like, you know?
I didn't measure her. She was short. She was definitely short. Maybe a little bit shorter, I guess.
Okay.
So she parked her cart, and then she pulled out from under her cart. She had a stool, like one of those folding stools.
Yeah.
You get it like IKEA or whatever. Maybe you use it in the shower. Maybe you use it in your room. I don't know where you use it. She had it in the grocery store.
That's genius.
She popped it out, popped it down, went up there, and she was able to get something from the second to highest. So I guess she was really short, because second to highest shelf. She looked like if she went tippy-toes, she could maybe reach the top shelf.
And you just watched her like a creep while she was doing this?
Well, I mean, at that point, it was the first time I had ever seen it before in my life. Now that I've seen it at least once, I'm a little bit more desensitized. So, yes, I'll be less stalkerish next time. But, yeah, I saw her for a moment. And then, you know, I watched her, and she kind of walked down the aisle, and she had to do it for a couple different things. I mean, if you know that that's been a problem when you go to the grocery store before, like, you bring it just in case. Like, it's like, you know, stuff that you have shoved in your car or whatever.
Kind of genius, because I'm 5'2", and I have a hard time reaching the top shelf, not only at my own house, but definitely at the grocery stores when I go places. And I have become accustomed to, like, I'm a monkey.
Right.
I climb right up on top.
Parkour.
Like, yeah, I do a quick, like, glance to the left, glance to the right. If there's nobody else in the aisle.
Right.
My daughter rolls her eyes. I jump right up, climb up, and I'll get that Rice-A-Roni right from the top shelf.
You know, the funny thing is, do you even watch where your foot goes before you put it on there? Really what you look for is spectators, not to see whether or not you're going to step on something soft.
Right. No, definitely. I think if you're shorter in stature, I think this makes sense. Like, why wouldn't you carry a little thing to help you reach the top stuff, even at the grocery store?
Well, I've gone two levels up at BJ's, Costco, IKEA. I don't care.
He's
like, I'm not waiting on somebody to get over here.
It's her just in case. It's like her just in case item that she brings with her everywhere she goes, because she knows that being shorter is an issue.
Well, everybody has those, right?
What's your just in case item? The thing you always have with you?
Well, I always have wipes. You know that I love having my wipes with me. They're in the work bag. Oh, I got some backup wipes in the car. You know, I got mad wipes at home. I've always got those. I've got my laptop, and I've got the power cord to that.
Mm-hmm. You forgot
lip
about
balm.
And Lubriderm lotion, which I always thought was so strange. I remember the first day you walked in, your very first day here, you walked in with your wipes in one hand and your Lubriderm lotion in the other.
I think you're making that
up. Oh, yeah, yeah. And I was like, this seems a little bit awkward, but I guess that's what you do. And you had a hairbrush with you, too, remember?
Well, the brush is with me, too, all
See?
The time, right? But I don't think I had those all on the first day. I feel like I would have hid those from you.
Your hair looks exactly the same every day for the last 5.5 years I've worked with you. Yet, for some reason, you walk in every day with a brush in your hand.
You're a liar.
What's your just-in-case item? The item that you always have with you just in case? Because being a mom, if you look in my pocketbook right now, there's some strange things in there. 1-800-330-9999. You can call or text. It's Anna and Raven. Don't make fun of me. Don't make fun of me. Okay.
What, for your just-in-case items?
Yeah, it's Anna and Raven. Raven saw a woman at the grocery store, and she had like a little step stool underneath the carriage, and then whenever she couldn't reach something on the top shelf, she would pop it out, which I think is genius. I'm only 5'2", so to me, I'm like, well, that solves a lot of problems.
I was amazed at the fact that somebody thought enough to bring it with them. Obviously, this is an ongoing problem.
Right. So I think a lot of people have those just-in-case things. Like, anytime you go anywhere, you don't leave the house with them, because you have them, quote-unquote, just in case.
Right.
One of my best friend's sons, who's 13 years old, saw me pull this out of my bag, and he said I reminded him of his grandmother.
Okay? Is it Kleenex?
I have
what is that?
I carry around Ziploc bags in my purse,
uh-huh,
filled with things that are basically just in case.
What, I mean, are those toiletries? What is that?
There's all the emergency things. Obviously, there's the hand sanitizer. There's extra masks now. There's a face sunscreen for my toddler, Dakota. There's Bed Bath & Beyond coupons. There's a wine.
Bed Bath & Beyond coupons are in the same place as the first aid kit.
Yep. There's chapstick.
I want you to envision the most beat up old Ziploc bag you've ever seen. Like, the bag itself is no longer clear. It's more like an opaque or like a yellowish.
I got a pen.
Yeah. Right.
And
randomly in there.
Extra scrunchies and elastics
Perfect.
For my hair.
Perfect. Yes.
This is my emergency kit. I don't know. And also, in my car, you're always going to find a sweater because it's always going to be cold.
Right. Right. Well, that's a good one for girls in general, right? Yeah. They're usually cold.
We asked on our Facebook page, what do you always carry just in case, your just in case item?
Yeah.
Let's see. Jennifer says she has two boys, so she carries around a pee bottle in her car at all times.
Oh, my gosh.
Danielle does, too.
What?
My best friend, Danielle.
Just pull over.
No, she's got one of those little
What are you guys,
tiny,
truckers?
Those little potties, like the ones that they make for kids. She keeps it in the trunk.
That is different, though. That's an emergency bathroom she's carrying around like she's driving an RV. This is somebody carrying a Gatorade bottle that nobody, you know, the other person that comes in unsuspecting, unbeknownst. Oh, my gosh. Yellow's my favorite flavor.
Oh, disgusting, Raven. 1-800-330-9999. It's Anna and Raven. What's your just-in-case item?
Contact solution and an extra pair of glasses in case my contacts ripped.
I mean, that's good. If you can't see without your glasses, it's best to have a backup, right? I mean, because if not, you lose or break your glasses, you're just stuck that place the rest of your life until somebody comes and finds you.
Every time we're out, my husband will be like, do you have contact solution? And I always have to remind him that I don't wear contacts. You wear contacts. So why would I carry it? But he's so used to me being CVS and having everything in my purse that he like gets annoyed by that.
I mean, the bag is 8 pounds that you're carrying right now. You got everybody else's junk. You don't have one thing for your husband that he repeatedly misses.
How many times things I have to carry for him? I also have his hand lotion. I have his eczema cream. Like, come on.
I mean, that's nice. 2 out of 3 ain't bad, but obviously he wants to see too.
When did women become the ones that have to carry these giant bags with us everywhere we go, filled with everything? You want a granola bar? I got you.
Good morning, Anna and Raven. What's your just-in-case item?
Gotta have an ice scraper, especially this time.
You're waiting for frost already? You're like the most planned out guy ever.
Yeah, but I think you just, doesn't an ice scraper just live in your car?
Right. It's one of those things you put in the glove box and you forget exists. My wife said to me yesterday with my new car, she goes, aren't you going to put the manual in the car? I was like, what? So it can be a 12-pound weight in my glove box that I never look at again?
Wait a minute.
I think I'll leave it at home.
Do cars still come with manuals?
Mine did.
Oh, I wonder if mine does.
You should look.
I should definitely look.
It's probably taking up half your glove box right now.
Yeah.
But, you know, with regards to the girl with the stool, I had another issue where I wanted to be like a good guy, but I didn't know if it was going to be interpreted badly. That's coming up next with Anna and Raven.
It's an interesting predicament to be in because I never thought about it from your point of view. I've only seen it, obviously, from mine.
Yeah, Anna and Raven. So I'm at the grocery store earlier this week, and I saw a woman with something that I'd never seen before. She keeps pulling a stool. Very short woman. She's pulling a stool out from underneath her cart and using that to reach the top two shelves. And she's short. She gets to the second top shelf pretty easily, but the top tippity top is still even a little bit challenging. So I'm seeing her, and you know how it is in a grocery store. You take notice of something, and then you can't help but you run into that person, you know, 3 more times down other aisles or whatever.
Yeah.
So I see her down this other aisle, and again, I've seen her have continued struggles at certain spots, and now she's going for, like, I don't know, soy sauce or oyster sauce or something that's way on top here. And I wanted to be like, hey, can I give you a hand with that? But I didn't know whether or not she would actually be offended by that, you know?
So it's interesting that you bring that up because I'm not very tall. I'm only about 5'2¾" on a good day.
5'2¾"
on a good day.
Like, you sound like you're 6½ years old.
Well,
that's
listen,
what you're talking about.
When you're not that tall, every quarter inch, you know,
it counts.
Matters. It matters.
Yeah.
So I get offended when people ask me if I need help with things.
Yeah.
Because in my mind, I like, we think I'm weak just because I'm short. I'm weak.
I'm super tough.
You
Check
think
me
I'm
out.
Frail? I mean, I could be at Home Depot and I could have like an American Standard toilet, 2 things of plywood and an 8x10 area rug. And I'll carry all three. And somebody be like, ma'am, can I help you with that? I'd be like, no.
That
I got
seems,
it.
That seems silly.
But but at home, it's a different story because my husband, like, I expect him all the time to offer to help me even with, like, the little things.
Yes, dive. Leap to action, if you will, Paul.
But it's a constant struggle, and I don't think taller people realize it. Like, I don't reach the top shelves in my own home.
Yeah.
So I either have to use, I have a you know, like, when you mix the salad. What are they called?
Tongs.
Tongs. Right. I have, like, really long tongs. That I use, that I open it and I'll grab things from the top shelf. Or if it's something like I have to get a bowl or something, I'll call my daughter to jump up there to get it.
Perfect. Or you do like the chicken fight thing she gets on your shoulders, maybe?
No, she just jumps up and she hoists. I used to climb up on the kitchen counter.
Yeah.
But as I've gotten older, I'm afraid of breaking an ankle. Sometimes I still will if I'm home alone. Or I have to go to the dining room and I have to get it. So I understand the woman's struggle. But I also understand from your point of view how, like, you're afraid you're going to offend her because if I was in public and not home, I would be offended. I'd be like, you think I can't do it?
I've told you. That's why I don't pull over to help people pulled over on the side of the road, because I think that they're going to think when I pull up that they think I'm a crazy person.
Well, because every woman, when you're
same
by
line
yourself,
of thought.
Yeah, you think immediately they're a murderer.
Right.
They're going to kill me.
Right.
Yeah.
I just want to be like, you know what? I could change this tire for you. You'll be on your way. But exactly, murderer.
Right, exactly.
Definitely
first thing
a murderer.
That comes to mind. I'm just saying.
100% murderer.
You're probably right. You shouldn't have gotten her that soy sauce. But, I mean, would it have hurt to offer? I don't know.
That's all I need to know about you.
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 That's all I need to know about you. It's Anna and Raven. You just have to fill in the blank. If you blank, that's all I need to know about you. You can always call or text 1-800-330-9999. This is actually one of my girlfriends. She wrote about it on Facebook, and I could not stop giggling. So you know how a lot of schools now are having, like, the virtual open house? Obviously, the parents can't go in and do the
old. Sure, sure, yep.
So they had virtual open houses, or they have virtual meetings, a lot of the schools, to kind of keep the parents up to date on what's happening.
Yeah, yeah.
She said she watched a mom on Zoom on one of those virtual meetings take off her bra, like, under her shirt in the middle of the meeting. If you do that, that's all I need to know about you.
I mean, you just figured at that point that you're comfortable enough, right? It's one of those vibe things. If it's woman to woman and you're in the meeting, right, and you're just like, this person understands.
It's all parents.
Yeah, but I mean, are there 300 parents on the Zoom call?
Yes.
Wait a minute, it's a group Zoom call?
It's an open house for a school.
Oh, well, that's bad. I thought these were like almost like PTA meetings where you're having conferences with one teacher.
I think you got to learn. I mean, we've been talking about this for months, but you got to figure out when your video is on and understand that people can see you. Just if you make your whole screen just the principal speaking,
right.
that doesn't mean
that's the only thing that's out there.
Right. Other people can see you.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. That's all I need to know about you.
I think wherever you go now at this point, you need to assume that you are always on camera.
Yeah.
Always on camera. You can't pick your nose at the end of the road because somebody is going to capture that on camera.
So
you are stuck somewhere.
If you're going to pick your nose, you better pick it proudly because
that's right. Own it if you're going to do it. Right. You know, speaking of kids and schooling, so my neighbors, these are my best neighbors. They are fantastic people, really good, both retired, right? And they've been doing the homeschooling thing with their grandkids. There's three grandkids. And, you know, kids are kids, right? It's a big yard. You expect them to be out there and making noise and having a good time. But here's the thing. Over the last few weeks, I have seen less and less of the neighbors and heard more and more of the kids.
Uh-huh.
I believe that grandma is now going into a drinking coma or something. I don't know what's happening in there. I think maybe they've given up.
Oh, you don't know the power of outside.
Because the kids are outside.
Yeah.
Recess is like 3 hours, 4 hours long.
Uh-huh.
And so they have a screamer. All right, the older girl is just a scream. She just screams. She's one of those little girls that just screams all the time.
Yep.
And now the little one is doing it too. And it's just, it's total chaos out front of the place. And there's no sight of my neighbors. I believe they may have killed them.
No.
Actually.
I have a fenced in yard, right?
Yeah.
It's fenced in mostly for my dog. But as now I have a toddler who is two, I've realized it has multiple uses. And when things get crazy.
Yeah.
I'll
just release her in the back.
Take her outside.
Right.
Right. And then she'll go outside and she will spin like a top and she will scream.
They are so, they're out in front of this tree out front screaming, and then everybody that goes by, they engage in a conversation with, and then they scream after them as they go.
Yeah, kids scream.
So I'm walking the dog yesterday, and they're like, can we pet him? And of course, kids come running up, and one of them is okay to pet, and the other one is not. So I'm like, no, this one can bite from time to time. You can pet the other one when I come back around. And they're like, okay. So then I'm leaving. They can't say his name, Barkley. They just, to them, it's Harley or whatever. Yeah. So they're like, Harley's a handful. Harley's the worst. And they're just screaming this down the road. I'm like 6 houses away.
How come I have the feeling that every once in a while your wife tells you to go outside too, spin around and scream to get it all out, right?
I'll go out there with them.
What did your child do that you had to apologize for because you felt so bad about it? It's Anna and Raven. Dakota, she is the light of our lives. She's our toddler. She's our youngest, and she'll be turning 2 next month. But she is as much of a handful as you can possibly. Like, she is
this
so
is your demon child.
I like to call her Dakota the Destroyer.
Right.
So we have learned that there's certain things we have to do because she's nothing like her older sister who was so well behaved at restaurants.
Right.
Friday night, we go to our favorite Mexican restaurant. We like to go really early for two reasons. One, I think it's acceptable on Fridays to start drinking margaritas at 4:15 in the afternoon.
I can sign off on that.
And two, there's really not a lot of other people there, and they know that we come all the time, so they kind of give us our own area where Dakota can run around a little bit. And
be a little bit of a maniac.
Yeah,
plus, you wake up really early, so you're in bed at 9 if you've got a couple margaritas.
Please. Usually 8:30 on a Friday.
There you go.
Right. So anyway, we go, and as usual, we get our table, and everything is great, and Dakota is in rare form. She doesn't want to sit down in her high chair, so now I have her in my lap. And now she doesn't want to sit in my lap, so she's doing laps around the table. So now her quesadilla comes, right? Which she normally loves.
You would think that she would just feast upon the quesadilla, and then all of a sudden you would be able to regroup and have some time.
She doesn't want the quesadilla.
Oh, not today.
Why
not today,
she eat
Mom?
Her dinner?
Today
Why?
I'm bringing the thunder.
Right. So now, being a veteran mom at this point, right?
Yeah.
I don't care what people think anymore.
Right.
Like, I'll do whatever
Let
I can to survive this. I have to survive this moment. So here I pop up my iPhone. Let me put a little Peppa Pig right on this, like, this YouTube channel.
Perfect.
I got Peppa Pig going. I order her a scoop of ice cream for dinner. I go, that'll keep her calm.
Right.
All right. So she's eating the ice cream and she's watching Peppa Pig for dinner.
It's all right. Dairy product.
Now she starts flailing. I reach in my pocketbook because, like every good mom knows, you got to have an arsenal of things in your pocketbook to go at any given time.
Right. So what did you go for?
I have little figurines of Minions. Right? They're little Minions.
Perfect.
She takes the Minion.
It's like your lifeline that you've got in your purse.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. And she's like, oh. And she's playing with the Minions, and she's quiet, and I'm like, oh, thank God, let me drink this Patron.
This Presidente margarita.
Here we go.
64 ounces.
In a full sweat at this point, just trying to have a good dinner. She takes the Minion, and she throws it like she is a pitcher for the Yankees. She
wow.
throws it. And it goes across the dining room.
Yep.
And these figurines are heavy. They're heavy plastic.
Sure.
And it lands right in this guy at the next table's enchilada dish.
No, that's the worst. Because now it's covered in avocado.
Oh, and he is shocked. His wife jumps back. It's an older couple that is sitting there by themselves because they're also having dinner at 4:30 on a Friday.
Because they're going to be in bed at 8 o'clock.
Yeah. And they
right after
up
Jeopardy
at me.
And Wheel of Fortune.
And I go, oh, my gosh. Right? And my husband's like, what are we going to do? So I get up. I put my mask on. I walk over to the table. I go, I'm so sorry.
You collect your Minion. You apologize.
I was like, I'll take that back. It's covered in the green verde sauce. All
right.
That. And I was like, I'm so sorry. I bought them all their drinks for the night, which I
mean, all their drinks?
Yeah, it was like $40 of drinks I bought.
Oh, my gosh.
But I felt so bad about it. Like, I was like, that's embarrassing.
One drink, man. One drink, if anything, I think is pretty generous.
Here's the truth. I thought that they were older. They probably only had one drink
no,
each.
No,
nope.
As soon as you told them you were buying their drinks, they ramped it up.
I didn't even do that. I told the waiter to put it on my
tab.
Oh,
no. Oh, no. You can't trust the waiter.
But it was so embarrassing. I feel like this has to happen to other parents. What did your child do that was so embarrassing that you had to apologize for them? 1-800-330-9999. It's Anna and Raven. What did your child do that was so embarrassing that you had to apologize for them? 1-800-330-9999. It's Anna and Raven. My daughter, Dakota, she's going to be 2 next month. She had one of those little plastic Minions, right? And she flung it. We were at a Mexican restaurant Friday night. And it like soared through the air. And as a mom watching it, it was like slow motion watching it. And I was like, no.
Sometimes kids got really strong arms, man, right? The muscles are wound tight and they just launch it.
I always say it's like, it's time for her to start some sports.
Yeah.
Anyway, it landed right in the guy's enchiladas. And the tables are spread far apart because of COVID.
Right.
So it was far it went. And it landed right in his dinner. And I felt so bad. I had to put on my mask. I had to walk over. I had to apologize. And then I ended up buying them some drinks because I felt so bad about it.
In this time, it's worse, obviously, because people are thinking about their contamination and stuff like that. Other than that, normal times, they'd be like, ah, that kid's crazy.
And honestly, they were very nice about it. They said they were grandparents and they had children, you know, grandchildren her age. They were very sweet. But it doesn't change the fact that she threw a Minion in the enchilada.
Right, right.
Yeah. 1-800-330-9999. What did your kid do that was so bad that you had to apologize for them?
Oh, my gosh. I was a teacher. This was way long ago at Vacation Bible School. And I went to go pick up my younger daughter from, you know, daycare. They watch the babies while you're teaching them. And she runs into the pastor's office, grabs a marker, and scribbles all over his calendar.
Nice.
Like, oh, no.
That's right.
Yeah, it was sweet.
We were at P.F. Chang's, and I wasn't paying attention for 1 second, and Dakota drew all over the seat. And I was like, oh, my gosh. And I was trying to get it off, and I couldn't get it off. And then I didn't know if I should ask for, like, a rag or something.
Or just run away and act like nobody saw it.
Right. I just left an extra tip, and I felt really bad about it.
I mean, at least the calendar was paper.
Right. Wow. Yeah. Hey, it's Ian on Raven. When did you have to apologize for something your child did?
We were at a steakhouse, like a really nice steakhouse. And we had our son with us, 3 years old. He hit his spoon from his soup, and it flew into the next table.
Oh, God.
Into another person's wine glass.
Oh, God.
Like, right in? Yeah. Like, we should possibly make him a basketball star?
I mean, I care more about...
It was honestly impressive.
I care more about what's in the spoon. Because when he hits that, that's projectile. That's going everywhere.
Yeah. I mean, they were so surprised, and we were completely embarrassed. Like I said, I would be almost, like, impressed if it hadn't been so embarrassing at the time. Like, now I look back and I'm like, how did that actually happen?
Did you apologize? Like, so when it happened to me, I felt like, actually, my husband said it. He was like, no, we have to buy them a round of drinks. This is awful. Like, did you feel like you had to apologize, or did you just ignore the fact, or did you just say, I'm sorry, and then move on with your life?
I definitely apologized, but I also wanted to, like, not talk to them for the rest of the night and try to, like, hide us, even though we were just a table over. I was just, like, pretending like there was a wall there.
Steakhouse, send them a side of cream spinach.
That's what they want.
Right.
No, they want a creme brulee. That's what they want. Actually, no, that's what I want.
That nobody gets to the creme brulee by the end of the meal. You're too full.
I do. No, I eat the creme brulee all the time. What are you, insane?
Like a horse.
Yeah. Who goes to a steakhouse and doesn't get a creme brulee? I mean, savages.
You eat the big ribeye. You ain't making it.
Oh.
What did you have to apologize for that your kids did? 1-800-330-9999. It's Anna and Raven.
You try your best as a parent. You do the best you can. But sometimes things happen, and your kid does something so embarrassing or so awful that you have to apologize for them.
It's not necessarily that you're a failure as a parent. Sometimes circumstances just line up that way.
Yeah. What happened? 1-800-330-9999. It's Anna and Raven. This comes up this past weekend. My daughter threw a little plastic minion toy. We were at dinner. She was not behaving. This is my little one, Dakota. She's going to be 2 next month. Right into the enchiladas at the
bad
table.
Call.
Yep. And
bad
I felt
call.
So bad we had to buy them drinks. What happened with your kid? It's Anna and Raven.
Well, we were at Bradley's when, you know, Bradley's was open, and we're in line. And this lady says to my daughter, who was like 3, oh, what's Santa Claus going to bring you this year? And she says, he's bringing me reindeer.
Oh.
Wow. I mean, where did she?
Because her dad would say, you know, back in the 80s, it was okay to swear. Like,
that's right. That's right. But, no, I remember. Yes, there was nudity in PG films, too. I remember.
Yeah.
Right. You know, it was where we'd be like, you're not good. You know, kids aren't always perfect. He would say to her, you know, don't forget, Santa's going to bring you reindeer.
Right.
If you're bad. So she said it to the lady. I was so embarrassed. And I'm like, I'm so sorry.
Is it bad that I want to tell my toddler that Santa will also bring her that if she doesn't behave?
Right.
Anna and Raven, what was so embarrassing that your child said or did that you had to apologize for them?
Okay, way back when, on my way to Florida, in an airplane, she was sitting on my lap about 12, I forget exactly how old she was under 2. And they were allowed to sit on your lap back then. I don't know if they still are, but she got plane sick and she threw up all over the guy next to us who was wearing a white suit.
Mm. Oh, nice. He was dressed for Miami.
Yeah, he definitely
was. Oh, God. And then he smelled like a mammy.
So embarrassing.
That is so embarrassing. When your kids puke in public, it's the worst. I actually had that happen too, but not with my kid. We were with my friend's kids. And then trying to clean it up, nasty. Hi, it's Anna and Raven. What did your child do that was so embarrassing you had to apologize for them?
My son, he's 9 years old. He plays baseball and he got hit with the ball and he screamed the F word. So everyone heard it. Everyone was laughing and that was embarrassing enough. But the worst part is my husband thinks, oh, this is a really funny time to yell out. He learned that from his mother.
Oh, gosh. Oh.
Right?
That's
very
my favorite.
Clever.
So, yeah, very clever.
Yeah, everyone's looking at me. I'm just like, oops, my bad.
Anna's a coach, you know that? Like,
I'm a soccer
coach. She would have turned
coach.
Around and turned on you guys and went crazy.
That's not true.
She's already been spoken to by the organization like 3 times.
But not this year. Not this year. I've toned it back this year. Hey, it's Hannah and Raven. When did you have to apologize for something your child did?
Okay, so my son is 5 years old, and we were at Target just this past weekend, and there was this elderly woman. She was a little older, and she's just standing next to us, minding her own business, and my son looks at me, full voice, and he says, "Mommy, is she an evil witch or a good witch?"
Oh, my gosh.
I almost died. And I kept thinking maybe she didn't hear it. And she totally did. I don't know where he came up with it. And she didn't find it funny.
Yeah.
And she just looked at him with the meanest look and said, "I'm not a witch."
Well, everybody knows, you know that witches means? Have great ears.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
You want to know what? You know who says I'm not a witch? Witches.
Right.
Yeah.
Of course.
Yeah.
Immediately right. Hide behind that. Yeah.
Uh-huh. He's probably right. He's got his witch radar up. It's that time of year.
Yeah.
One of the small joys in life that has become very popular is asking Google, well, anything.
Yeah. I mean, you can just ask anything. Digital right. assistant, they'll come up with an answer for anything.
Right. It's Anna and Raven. So this video is trending this morning because it makes the kids laugh so hard.
Okay.
Okay, Google, make the sound of a fart.
This is a fart.
I mean, even mommy thinks it's funny.
It is kind of funny. Right?
You know, it's so, like, immature and silly, but it makes the kids laugh, so you go for it. But, you know, I'm a purist. I still, like to type questions into Google and immediately get the answer.
Oh, you mean, like, online, right?
Yeah,
so you put
online.
In a couple words, and then you see what comes up there?
Yeah. Are you ready to have your mind blown?
Go for it.
Someone sent a message to our text line. You could text us anytime you want at 1-800-330-9999, no matter what.
Sure.
And all it said was, search Google and ask why cornflakes were invented. I cannot say on the air what the answer is, but I need you to do it right now.
Okay.
Good. Go search it. Search.
All right. Hold on. Slow down.
Why were cornflakes invented?
Well, it came right up as soon as I put YWE, so obviously a lot of people are doing it.
Don't read it out loud. We're going to get in a lot of trouble.
Whoa.
What?
Whoa.
Weren't you? What? Can you imagine? That's why cornflakes were invented?
Come on. That doesn't seem real.
Wait, no. So, of course, I read this. I go, that's
right.
Not legit.
Right.
And then I started doing some research. Oh, no, it looks pretty legit.
I mean, this could just be the internet fooling you. Does Kellogg say that? Come on.
It says that's a part of the history of why they were invented. So as purely as I can say this.
Yes.
And you can probably right now, if you're not driving, or just ask Google why were cornflakes invented and you
right.
can get the answer right in front of you.
Right. To suppress a need.
To suppress a need that you may have in the morning.
Yes, a compulsory need.
Yep.
To take care of your business.
That seems good.
And business means bathroom. So to take care of your, you know.
No, now you're making people confused.
Desires.
No.
And needs.
Okay, let's stop.
And it's supposed to be anti that.
That's weird.
I mean.
But who, how did Google know that?
Well, if you're busy with a cereal, right? To be fair, you're holding a bowl in one hand and a spoon with the other. Your hands aren't free. So you just, you know, there's, for that moment at least. You're too busy to be able to have your hands wandering to doing anything else that might
God.
Come up in the morning. It's a thing.
Hold on, we just got another text.
Is that how people wake up some places?
What does this text say?
Wow.
I
mean, we're up at 4 in the morning.
It
I've
says,
never once had cornflakes here.
Somebody just texted, when will the ocean be empty? When will the ocean be
okay,
empty?
What,
hold
what
on
is
a
that
second.
One? Can you Google that
when
one?
When will the ocean be empty? I mean, how does Google know this? Oh, my gosh.
What?
2048.
What? Oh, come on.
That's a real thing.
No, it's not.
Yes, it says the apocalypse has a new date, 2048. That's when
the
world's oceans will be empty of fish, predicts an international team of ecologists and economists.
Yeah, I don't know what that. Come on, I'm not going to trust that.
It says that the disappearance of the fish from the ocean has to do with overfishing, pollution, habitat loss, and climate change.
All right, hippie, that's enough of that.
2048.
We were talking about strange things that we could find on the internet. Now we're talking about crazy people's predictions. I'm all set with that.
Last night. I am part of this problem.
You are.
Oh, my God.
If you had cornflakes in your hands, we could have eliminated two birds, one stone.
Oh, my
God. It would
God.
Have been no problem.
I can't believe that's real.
He's the keeper of the castle.
He didn't weed whack the lawn all summer.
He's a caring dog dad.
The dog hasn't been out since 2 o'clock.
He's the romance king.
We haven't been on a date in 6 month.
It's time for Raven's report card.
Every week we check in with Raven's wife, Alicia, to see how he's been behaving as a husband. Alicia.
Hello.
How are you feeling?
Like crap.
Ah, it stinks, man. I feel so bad for you.
Yeah. The worst part is not being able to eat. I'm starving. I'm hangry. And he can eat whatever he wants. Sleeping is hard because you're starving. You try to fall asleep and all you can think about is your stomach that's like growling, and he's fully fed and snoring. I wanted to kill him last night.
Well, how do you say it? Divulcaculitis?
Diverticulitis.
Like, can you give a synopsis of what it is for people that don't know?
Well, it's kind of gross. You know, I've been on Google too much.
Right.
So.
To degree of what's going on, we have really no idea at this point.
Like, I know my aunt had this. Our boss's father had this. I feel like it's somewhat common.
Yeah.
It's usually something that happens in older people.
Yeah. Like when you're 50.
Yeah.
Definitely not 50, for the record.
I'm about 10 seconds away from it.
Right. So we should
roll it back. Roll back the anger.
I'm not.
Yeah, no.
So I guess you like little pockets on your intestine, when they get infected, that's the itis. These pockets that form, I believe, are called diverticulosis. And then when they get infected, it's diverticulitis.
It should be said out loud that none of us are doctors, and that she was in an ER for, 7 hours, saw a couple different people there, was told things while under medication, and then went home and Googled stuff. So whatever we're getting wrong, oops.
Well, I remember when my aunt was in the hospital and I was sitting next to her and the doctors would come in and I would talk about it. It was like I had a lot to do with like when seeds, there's things that you can't eat now because like seeds.
Yeah,
can
but
get
now
caught.
Now some stuff on the internet says it's fake.
Yeah, well, so, either way.
Again, here, one more thing about nuts or seeds, I'm gonna scream.
Right.
That's everybody's response.
I'm just going to point out the fact that I don't think you eat a ton of nuts or seeds.
Right.
So
actually, when I'm on the healthy wagon, my snack is nuts. That's what I snack on. Peanuts, pistachios. I make homemade buffalo roasted almonds. And,
yeah, that hasn't happened in the last 2 weeks, though. So.
But that's why she has divulcaculitis. That's
okay.
Why. There's nothing worse than feeling sick and then not knowing if you should go to the emergency room or not. Like,
do I feel like death?
Yeah.
So, I suffered through it. You were the one who yelled at me and told me to go.
Well, so. Because I knew that if you waited, it was only going to get worse and then you were going to regret it. So you had to go. Like, what's the worst that could happen? You waste a night there? Big deal. Glad you went and I'm glad you figured it out. And has Raven been supportive? How's he been as a husband?
Oh, he's been great. He keeps telling me to lay down. And that's probably the hardest part, is to feel like I'm absolutely useless. He keeps telling me to rest and he's taking care of pretty much everything. I can't stand him when he's eating.
I'm literally eating in the kitchen. I'm eating like, and I feel like I should go outside, except it's 50 degrees out there.
Yesterday.
Oh, don't make me laugh.
We got Duncan and he got 2 bacon, egg and cheeses. And I was like, no, you can't have 2. And then he's like, I have to eat now because I can't eat when I get home.
Why would you say bacon? Oh,
I'm sorry.
I tried to eat soup and that hurts. So I'm literally eating broth and tea and water. And I'm miserable. I am so, and every commercial on television is food. I dreamt about food last night. I'm so, so upset.
2 words, Alicia, that'll make you feel better. Skinny jeans. Skinny jeans will all fit you again. You could pull them out from 1996. Sure, they're going to have some studs on the side, but it doesn't matter. They're going to fit you and they're going to look good. So what kind of grade would you like to give Raven today?
I want to give him an F because he's eating, but
F for fat.
I'm going to have to give him an A. He's been kind of awesome.
Couples Court on the Anna and Raven Show.
Every weekday morning, a couple joins us. They let us know what their disagreement is about, and then you decide who's right. Brian and Georgia. Brian, let's start with you. What's going on?
So my wife and I are putting an addition onto our home, and my wife's ex-husband, who we all have a pretty mutual, decent relationship, he's a contractor, and my wife thinks it's a good idea to use him as the contractor for our new addition. She thinks that we'll get a good deal and that he'll waive some costs, or actually don't even truly understand why she thinks it's a good deal. I think it's a horrible idea. When we first started dating, he made this comment that I wasn't good with my hands, and it kind of always bothered me because I am pretty decent with my hands. Maybe not build a whole addition on our place good, but So that kind of bugged me. But really what is making me nervous and giving me anxiety is when you go with a contractor, it can be a very stressful relationship. They could screw something up. We could have a money dispute. And I really don't think it's a healthy thing to do to bring her ex-husband in and open up this extremely complicated business relationship with him. When everything's going fine, let's just get a contractor that if it screws up, we can yell at them or, you know, have a tough conversation with them.
Georgia, all right, I understand a couple things happening here. One, you think you can get a good deal because he's your ex-husband. And two, Brian's ego is hurt. So, you know, he hurt his feelings and now he's going to have the big man come work on his house. I could understand both sides of that. Why would you want to bring your ex-husband into this mess?
I mean, I know he's good at his job, too. There's a lot of contractors out there. I think they're going to be sitting around, not actually working. They're going to screw it up. At least we know he does good work. He's going to give us a decent price. And I know that he's not going to, you know, put us on the back burner. To me, go with someone you trust versus one of the bozos out there who doesn't know how to do his job.
Hey, let me just play devil's advocate here. I mean, he's your ex for a reason. So obviously he can't be the most dependable person on the entire planet. I mean, things do happen. Things go wrong. And what if it does? You've got this part, you know, again, that used to be civilized and now it's a problem. Or will you let him walk over you guys? Because, you know, that happens with construction all the time.
There's no chance of that. There's no chance of that. We're not married for a reason. I don't want to be married to him, but I think we can work with him. You know, if we need to lay the law down, we can do that. He definitely still respects me. So,
yeah,
I think it'll be fine.
I mean, if you know he does good work, I don't see what the big deal is. But let's see what our audience has to say. Do you both agree to listen? They may agree with you, Brian, that if you feel uncomfortable having your wife's ex-husband in your home putting an addition on it, that really should be the end of the conversation. But they may see Georgia's side too. Maybe you're being unreasonable. Maybe you will get a good deal. Maybe he will put in the work. Maybe he will do something awesome. Do you both agree
to
listen?
It's a big gamble.
Well, sometimes you got to roll those dice. Do you guys agree to listen to what our audience has to say?
Yeah. I'm interested.
Great. Call or text. Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. It's the Couples Court with Ann and Raven.
Brian and Georgia are married. And here's the thing. Georgia's ex-husband is a contractor. And they're putting an addition on their house. How convenient. Georgia says, I have a great relationship with him. He'll do a good job. I know he does good work. And he'll probably give us a good price.
Sometimes a lot of the jobs that you do are the hardest jobs when they involve friends, right? Because the demands are uneasy. Everybody says they're easy up front, but then they're not clear about what they want. And when you don't deliver that, it becomes a bigger problem.
And Brian has the problem because he feels like not only does he not want to get an ex involved, but also there was a time where he kind of made fun of him, put him down for not being handy. And he doesn't want that in his house either. What do you think? 1-800-330-9999. Couples Court, Anna and Raven.
Hi. I am, you know what? It's hard. It's divided. But I just want to point something out. If there are kids involved, then absolutely you should not have him in the house. Because if something does go wrong, sooner or later, there's going to be an argument and someone's going to say something, the kids are going to hear it, and then it reflects on the kids and how they're feeling.
Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. It's Couples Court with Anna and Raven. Georgia and Brian are looking to put an addition on their house. And Georgia has a good relationship with her ex-husband who happens to be a contractor. She says, let's just give him the job. He'll give us a good price and I know he's going to do good work.
Brian is civil with the ex. I mean, it's an all right relationship, but he doesn't really care for him. At times, this guy has made jokes at his expense. Plus, he thinks it just complicates a personal situation, which is really a business relationship.
Whose side are you on? It's a Couples Court with Anna and Raven. 1-800-330-9999.
I am on the husband's side. I'm a contractor in force myself. What I want to do is put my ex-wife out and do any work, especially to give her a deal.
Right. And the other thing is, you know, ex-wife, you're still in contact, so I'm guessing there's probably kids. That's usually the reason you need an addition anyways, right? And then, you know, it sounds
like a mess.
Yeah, it spills into everything. I'm with you, man. Business never personal.
Anna and Raven, whose side are you on this morning?
Oh, my God, the husband. Don't do it. Do not. You just can't have friends, and especially not ex-friends, do any work on your house. My husband went that route. He had friends do absolutely everything on our house. And now as it's breaking, and some of the things were totally messed up from the start, you have no recourse. You can't go after them. They're your friends. It's terrible. Don't do it.
And they always feel like they did more for you than what you actually contracted them to do. That's not just a friend thing. That's every contractor. So with friends, it's even worse.
Absolutely.
Anna and Raven, what do you think about this?
I'm kind of in the middle because I'm going through something similar. Not my ex-husband, but I'm trying to redo my house also. And I think that maybe they should get prices from everywhere. I'm so fussy that I'm afraid if it's a friend and I want them to do something my way, there's going to be animosity there. I really, truly believe that.
I agree.
I think that they should price it out, see what his ideas are, see what somebody else's ideas are, see where the guy sits in the middle, and make sure everything you want is up front so he knows. I'm so fussy. There's always something I go, no, I don't like that. I want to add something else. And then sometimes they get aggravated. I could never work with a friend because I feel bad.
The verdict is in. Jury foreman, what are the results?
Brian, our audience agreed with you. It's opening up a can of worms, Georgia, one that you don't want to get involved in. You're going to have your husband that's going to have all this animosity towards your ex-husband coming over your house. He's going to be there all the time. And at the end of the day, saving a few bucks, probably not worth it.
I mean, I get it. I don't want to make him so uncomfortable. I want him to feel like he's running the show. So if we got to go with someone else, we got to go with someone else.
Sometimes when we look at it, we think to ourselves, saving a few $100 here or maybe $1,000, $1,500 here, there, whatever, is worth it. But sometimes we get to the end and we realize that it wasn't even close to worth it. So if anything, maybe talk to your ex for advice, you guys as a couple, and then maybe he even has a contractor he would recommend. He can tell that contractor to give you a good deal, but that way you don't have that personal thing in the middle of you guys.
I agree. That sounds so much better.
All right, if you have a problem too, send an email, couplescourt@annaandraven.com.
Can't beat Raven.
Hey, it's Anna and Raven. Who's this?
Hey, it's David. How are you?
I'm great, David. Can you please ask Raven to leave the room?
Raven, would you mind please leaving the room?
Sure. Good luck, David.
Here's how it works. I'm going to ask you 5 pop culture questions. You answer them as quickly as you can, and then I'll bring Raven back in and ask him the same 5 questions. Whoever gets the most right wins. If it's a tie, it goes to Raven. But if you could beat him, we're going to give you $1,200 today. You ready to go?
Let's do it.
Number 1, one of the largest known T-Rex skeletons sold at auction for $31.8 million. Who wrote the novel Jurassic Park?
Michael Crichton.
Number 2, Tyra Banks has confirmed that a Coyote Ugly reboot is in the works. She has been under fire this week for her performance hosting Dancing with the Stars. What longtime host did she replace this season?
Tom Bergeron.
Number 3, Whoopi Goldberg confirmed that Sister Act 3 is a go. It's going to be on Disney Plus. What are the 2 colors of the habits that the nuns wear?
Black and white.
Number 4, lots of backlash that Mel Gibson has been cast to play Santa Claus in the new Fat Man movie. What actor plays Santa Claus in the Santa Claus trilogy?
Santa Claus.
Time's up. Sorry, David. And number 5, a new survey found that the most popular Halloween candy by generation, Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the most popular for Gen X, Millennials, and Gen Y. Snickers is the most popular for Baby Boomers. What kind of nuts are an original Snickers bar?
Peanuts.
Okay. Not bad, David. Let's see if it's enough.
Yo.
All right, so David did really well. He got 4 out of 5.
Did he?
Yep. Number 1. One of the largest known T-Rex skeletons sold at auction for $31.8 million. Who wrote the novel Jurassic Park?
Michael Crichton.
Yeah.
Wrote the Jurassic Park novels.
Number 2, Tyra Banks has confirmed that a Coyote Ugly reboot is in the works. She's been under fire this week for her performance hosting Dancing with the Stars. What longtime host did she replace this season?
Tom Bergeron. What is in a performance as a host? Come on.
She misread what the prompter said. Oh. It kind of screwed things up.
I mean, Bergeron's been doing it for 30 years.
Number 3, Whoopi Goldberg confirmed that Sister Act 3 is a go. What are the 2 colors of the habits that the nuns wear?
Nuns wear black and white.
Yes. Number 4, lots of backlash that Mel Gibson has been cast to play Santa Claus in the new Fat Man movie.
Yes.
What actor plays Santa Claus in the Santa Claus trilogy?
Santa Claus is Tim Allen.
Yeah. You guys are tied.
Oh, I knew that.
Yeah. Number 5.
There's a lot of Santa Claus movies.
A new survey found the most popular Halloween candy by generation. Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the most popular for Gen Z and Millennials and Gen X. Snickers are the most popular for Baby Boomers.
Okay.
What kind of nuts are an original Snickers bar?
Peanuts.
Yeah. I'm sorry, David. That was really close. He took you down 5-4 this morning.
It's David. I can't be Raven.
All right. Thanks, David. Hold on.
I will. Yeah.
You will.
Better luck next time.
Another $100 in the jackpot Monday morning, $1,300. Make sure you're listening at noon and 5:30 today for the cheat sheet. I'll give you the first two answers to Monday's five pop culture questions. Phase three for Connecticut. What does that mean? It's Anna and Raven, Star 99.9. Governor Ned Lamont. How are you, Governor?
You guys are keeping me busy.
Yeah, Governor, it's been a long, crazy year, as I'm sure. I don't need to tell you at all, but here we are, phase three. I mean, with some delays, but here we are. It's kind of an exciting time.
Hey, Raven, maybe sometimes a little too exciting.
Before we get to the phase three stuff, because I saw this morning that towns have the option to stay in phase two, and we'll talk about that. But do you get annoyed and, like, you're done with those 4 o'clock press conferences?
You know, no. Not at all. During COVID, people are desperate for information, and you can't over-communicate. Every day, this thing is not only fast and infectious, but it changes, you know. So you got to explain to people what you're doing and why you're doing it. I can't do it by fiat. I can't order you. I think the opportunity to explain to people makes a difference, and I think people are sort of tuning in.
Governor, you mentioned the fact that it is changing and ever-changing every day, and over the last few days, I've just been casually going through and seeing the news and your conference there in the background and seeing some rates that are increasing different areas. But overall, we're still looking good, correct?
I think that's right. Look, we knew that fall there could be a potential surge. We knew that from 1918. We knew that because it's flu season. It was not unexpected. We've got a stockpile of testing. We've got a stockpile of masks. You know, we've been preparing for this for quite a while, laid out our track and trace team, but it still is disconcerting. And I feel like I've seen this movie again. I'm looking down in New York City, Brooklyn and Queens, they're flaring up. I'm looking at Boston, you know, they're flaring up a little bit. You know, we're not an island, so we got to continue to be careful. Southeast Connecticut's hit a little bit right now.
Speaking of our friends over in New York, I saw what Cuomo's doing where certain zip codes are going back on lockdown. What do you think about that?
Look, he's got 10% of his the city represents, I don't know, 60% of all the infections. So the theory is maybe you should treat those zip codes a little bit differently. Here in Connecticut, we've got just two or three towns flaring up. So I think we're going to give those mayors the discretion not to move to phase three, just to be a little more cautious if they want to.
Governor Ned Lamont.
Phase three. Phase three kind of kicked in yesterday.
Right.
So what exactly does that entail? And why are some towns staying in phase two?
Phase three kicked in because we still have one of the lowest infection rates in the country 4 months later. Phase three is kicking in because it's getting colder. And while outdoor dining was fabulous, really very successful across the state, now we're moving indoors. So got to be cautious.
Governor, everything looks pretty good and steady right now. As you said, we're prepared. But if we see numbers start to rise, could phase three be rolled back?
Yeah, Raven. I mean, we sort of said 15 infections per 100,000 is one way to gauge a community spread within a community or within a region. And we have said if you hit that threshold, to roll back. Look, if we got the 40 per 100,000, we'd probably come in with a lot stronger response. But we're not there, thank goodness.
And I think the other big question that a lot of parents have is schools, because there seems to be like this disconnect where a couple cases come up in a school and then just some classes have to quarantine and then some schools close down 2 weeks. But you've basically left it up to the districts to decide what they're going to do, right? That's not coming from you.
The districts have been pretty good about this. Two or three districts, they had to go to remote learning because of the higher infection rate. And that makes some sense to me. But we also added another half dozen towns yesterday that went to full in-classroom learning because of a lower infection rate. And to be blunt, the classroom is one of the safest places you could be right now.
Well, here's what I will tell you. As you continue to do your press conferences, I will continue to watch because I'm always fascinated by them.
All right, now I get to ask you guys a question.
Yes.
Go ahead. Where'd you get an incredibly cool name like Raven? I mean, that's sort of dull.
Edgar Allan Poe. We can sit around and do the goth thing some night if you want, Governor. We'll come up with something for you.
Yeah, we'll come up. We'll give you a radio name.
I want to go goth. Come on.
Perfect in time for Halloween.
Governor Lamont, thank you for your time.
Thanks, guys. Always good to talk to you.